Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
Surrounding Secret Universe. Tonight, we're dealing with one of my favorite subjects, which is mind control, history of mind control, surveillance, cults, secret societies, mind wars. I got Marie D. Jones to discuss it with me. Let's bring her on. Good evening, Marie.
Hello there. Good to be here.
Hey, I've been looking through your book, and I've got to say, I got to commend you for your latest offering, and it's, you know, what you dealt with in this book is a lot of things that I like to expose on my show with cults and mind control, because it all goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So first, let's start. What made you pick Mind Wars as your new book, and what was the process, and how did you come about everything? I just want a little backstory.
Yeah, this is my eighth book with Larry Flaxman, my co-author, and we were kind of thinking about, well, what do we want to write next? And we'd written a lot of things in the paranormal field and science and things like that. We wanted to do something a little bit different. And mind control was something that we had always been interested in, and we knew that there were a lot of books out there, but there wasn't really one that was real mainstream that talked also about things like surveillance. And that was something that Larry knows a lot about in his, he's been in law enforcement for a number of years. And we thought, you know, there's how much of this is conspiracy, how much of this is real, and it would be really nice to put a book together where we really kind of go through everything, and, you know, people can read and get a good introduction to a number of different subjects, and then they can go off and do more research on their own if there's something that specifically interests them, like if they're more interested in surveillance or, you know, cyber surveillance, things like that, or if they're more interested in our past with the CIA's mind control program. We tried to include everything in the book and make it really comprehensive.
Well, you know, and also different religions too, Marie, and I like that you hit them also, and then also the old cults, you know, back in the Babylonian days, to the new, you know, the
right,
with the black ops, with the you know, mind control, and the and that's what really with the trafficking, human trafficking, all these different things, it goes actually hand in hand, and it's awesome that you was able to point out how it's all interconnected and linked, and that's what, you know, that's what we really need to see right now. So
I think, you know, with cults, a lot of people hear the word cult and they don't really think of mind control, but that's exactly what a cult is. It's a leader or a couple of leaders that are using different techniques to keep their followers in line and, you know, they get them to behave a certain way and really just control their thoughts and their behaviors and sometimes completely change their identities. So really cults are a very obvious way that you can see mind control at work. And they're as old as time. You talked about ancient mystery cults and religious cults, and, you know, all the way through the 60s and 70s. And even today we have cult problems And the people that join cults are not stupid. You know, often they're very intelligent people, but they just fall victim to these different mind control and brainwashing techniques.
You know, a lot of times it happens like this, Marie. The idea of somebody that has a high level intellect, and then they think, well, wow, this person or people or what have you, that's really inspiring. It's really whatever. That's on my level. So they check it
right
out. And then, you know, and there's a lot of crazy things too that, you know, some of them, you know, there's different cults. Some of them are, they might have you put you to work or something like we've kind of seen in the Scientology, expose.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like there's these Luciferian cults and stuff like that. And then them are the ones that's really, you're out here doing a lot of the crazy stuff and murder and, you know, human trafficking, all this other crazy stuff. But what happens is, Marie, is when you're in, I've done a lot of research into this matter. When you're in these cults, you already admit that you're dead. So there's nothing, and you know, and that's the thing too, is I believe that there is, it's a large number of missing people, and especially missing children.
Right.
But their worst enemy is their selves, because they kill each other off. And why is that, Marie? It's because they already admit that they're dead. And if they admit that they're dead, that means no anybody, they can kill them, they can do whatever, and it don't matter because they've already acknowledged their selves. And that's how these cults work, and it's really really terrifying stuff.
Yeah, and it is, and they break down your identity so that you don't, you really don't exist anymore, and then that way they can sort of build you into a new person, the person that they want you to be, and then they can manipulate you very easily, and that's part of what they do, and they know exactly who to pick on, who the weaker people are, or the sensitive people, the loners, you know, people who are very compassionate, and they play upon that. And then in the beginning, like you said, it could be that they make it look really good. Like, this is, we're a family and everybody here loves each other and cares about each other. And you're going to be a part of our family and you're never going to feel alone again. That really appeals to a lot of people. And then, of course, it's, once you're in, it's too late.
Yeah, once the pilgrims are out and you're tied down, they got the dagger out. It's a little too late to be like, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And I know, they talk about the satanic, but here's the thing, Marie, is they've made, I wouldn't say really a joke about it, but they have really tried to shy off that subject. And what was really crazy is, in the psychology program, it was talking about how the military is infiltrated by these cults. You know, like Michael Aquino, for instance, like Temple of Set. He doesn't have anything that stuck on him, but there is some very, very, very dreadful allegations toward that man. And you know, there's definitely a connection to all, but the cult thing, there's, it starts with the idea, you know, they bring back Luciferianism and all these other things. And, you know, and back in the 60s, I was born in 84, but, you know, I'm just trying to, from my research, you know, it was at the start of something, you know, I'm not saying just of the age of Aquarius, of the times, but, you know, in the new, like, in the stars and the planet alignments and everything, and the new idea, the new age of, you know, kind of the way our philosophies are now. But the thing about it is it's hidden in plain sight, Marie.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it goes on. Most people are so distracted and busy with their own lives that they don't see what goes on right under their own noses. And I, you know, what you said about the government infiltration is I think that happens with a lot of the major cults that don't sort of disintegrate on their own. And I know that that's been said about Jonestown and, oh gosh, there was another big cult. So yeah, you have to figure that if the FBI are aware, the DEA, and you know, if all of these organizations are aware that the cult exists and maybe they have weapons or they're dealing in drugs or whatever, they're going to try to infiltrate. But there, I think today, a lot of the cults that I hear about now, they're a little bit different. I think now they prey on people through like self-help. Like,
yeah,
we're going to help you. We're going to help you get rich. You know, we're going to help you get wealthy. And they use that, which is really a good thing, but they turn it into something really dark and sinister once they hook you in. And here
you
are paying every dollar that you have suddenly goes to the cult. And they try to separate you from family members so that you're just isolated.
Yes, I wonder. Yeah, ain't that awful, Marie? That's what I want to touch on, too. It's a complete isolation. And then it's just like, and for instance, that we can say in our modern day, it's kind of like Scientology, how you are paying all this money just to get spoon-fed the occult in very,
right,
very small doses. But now, I also want to touch base with you, and I don't know if this was what you were talking about earlier, these old cults. There was a spinoff from Scientology. It was really to Charles Manson and these other people, too. It was called the Prophet's Church of the Final Judgment. Are you familiar with that?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Robert.
There were a
Robert,
lot of, yeah.
I forgot his name. I can't even think of it right now, but I'm glad you know what I'm talking about. And see, and that was a prime example of, and see, even back then there was a lot of, like, murders, home invasions, murders, cult ritualistic murders like that. And see, in that cult, they thought that they believed in, like, Jesus and Lucifer, or like Jehovah and Lucifer being the same entity, or and all this other stuff. So it was just like crazy, you know, and it's just a spinoff. And, you know, but that's what a lot of these religions are, even today, to the mainstream Judeo Christianity or anything. It's a spinoff of something else.
Yeah, I mean, they're,
you know.
You know, yeah, an organized religion, it has the same characteristics as a cult. It's basically a large group of people following leaders that are telling them to behave and think and act a certain way. And if you don't, you get shunned, or you're going to burn in hell, or whatever the punishment is. But it's interesting because the Process Church, the People's Temple, all of these cults, they use religion to make them sound like, oh, we're a good thing, we're a positive thing, we help the poor. You know, Jim Jones, before he went crazy, some of the people that knew him said that he was always helping to feed the poor, he was always advocating for the poor and the downtrodden. And then, of course, you know, he turned his sort of religious group into one of the biggest and most deadliest cults of our time. So a lot of them know that if they use religion, they're going to get people in. They're going to get people to accept what it is they're selling. And, of course, they don't tell you up front all the negative stuff that they're selling. They save that for later. They, you know, once you're sucked in, it's like, that's it. You're not going to be able to get away from it. And that's what's so scary, because you and I... Uh-huh.
Oh, go ahead,
you and I could say that, I could say, oh, you know, Lauren, I'm never going to join a cult. But if they're charming and slick enough, they know exactly what to say to people to get them hooked in.
Especially in the days when there's if you go somewhere, there's drugs everywhere, there's big orgies, they're like, hey, man, this is life, you know, and all this other crazy stuff.
Partying. There's a new series coming on TV with David Duchovny. I think it's called Aquarius, and it's he's going to play an FBI agent who's investigating Charles Manson and the Manson family.
Oh,
And it's supposed to be really based on, you know, everything that really happened. And I'm hoping to do it really well so people can really see how people got caught up in this crazy guy's ideas to the point of going and murdering for him.
Or we can think of it like this, Marie. I think it was more than one person who put the ideas in his head to do all this. You know what I'm saying? I think the Process Church Scientology, it had something to do. I think it just loosened the bolts just a little bit. But, you know, we were talking about TV. One of the best occult-themed shows. I need to write a screenplay. I have this great occult idea-themed show I want to do. But one of the best ones that I can actually say that's really grabbed my attention, and there's a new season coming up, was True Detective.
Oh, you know, that was on Showtime, right? Because I don't have Showtime or HBO, whatever it was on, but everybody said.
Oh.
It was insane.
Oh,
and, yeah, it is coming back, but with different actors.
I'll have to send you a link so you'll be able to watch them. It's just really amazing. But now, here's the thing, too, Marie, is they put this stuff in the on TV programs. The TV, let's just throw everything out the window right now. TV programming. And let's just end it right there.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, you have to wonder, is it just entertainment, or is there a lot of people believe that it's predictive programming, that these shows are on for a purpose and they're, you know, trying to acclimate, like a lot of the UFO disclosure community thinks that all of the UFO shows and movies and novels, and that it's all about getting people ready for the big disclosure, which never seems to happen, though. But it
or
is.
Or they
but
do it like this, Marie.
Popular subjects.
They do it like this. They put it in ways that will laugh at it or not even be able to take it seriously. The cult aspect, yes. But in the other aspects, especially like, you know, Bigfoot, you had the Harry and the Hendersons, you know, calamity.
Yeah, oh,
God,
I forgot about that. That was
satire.
Awful, that
okay, and then you know, yeah, that was horrible. And then it's just like in the UFOs, you had the Spielberg ET, you had all these different things too, and that's exactly what we're still, you know, and we can talk about all them things, and we still come full circle about mind control, controlling our minds, you know.
Well, the TV, I mean, especially you turn on and watch the news and commercials, and it's just unbelievable. It's like, we want you to believe this. We want to sell you this, you know, consume this, buy this, believe this, think this. So, and then they throw at you some fun entertainment, like some comedy shows that you can laugh at. But it really is, it just numbs your brain. And I think that's, you know, distraction and getting people distracted is a really good way to then sneak your message in and
That's
control
true.
Their thoughts. So first you distract them with silliness and goofiness and whatever, you know, beer commercials, and then their mind is just sort of dumbed down, and then you can tell them anything you want. Yeah,
well, you know,
you
prime
know
example. I wanted to make this one example, Marie. I was watching the latest, this was like last year, I was watching the latest Superman movie. The Superman.
There's so many of them.
I know. It's the one with the Russell Crowe in it. And,
okay.
It was just, you know, they had the darker theme. But anyway, there was, and I wanted to use an example of how this is of mind control. Product placements. Whenever they were fighting in a big fighting scene towards the end, they were fighting, and then they were fighting in the Sears parking lot, product placement number one. And then I think it escalated there to an IHOP. And then whenever you're like, even though you're watching that action, badass action scene, you're like, man, I'd like to have some IHOP right now, you know, and that's the mind control right there.
Exactly.
That's the product placement, you know.
It is, and that, I've always hated that when it's so obvious that they're, you know, every other scene, they drive by a McDonald's or they're at the car chase, the really exciting car chase, and they stop for a burger at Wendy's or something. It's just like, oh, can you be more obvious? Power of advertising that they're able to do that, that we can't even watch something just to be entertained without them trying to shove some product down our throats. And, you know, most people don't complain. I mean, they just, I guess, who are you going to complain to? But I think that's one of the reasons why people like cable more, and now you have, like, you know, streaming stuff so that you don't have to have as much advertising, and you can pick and choose what you want to watch instead of having, instead of being told, this is what you're going to watch. So it's changing a little
bit. I remember back in the 90s, you know, or even 2000, before it got really just digital, and it still happens, though. They play food commercials really late at night to where everything's closed. You know, and I think that's a mind control tactic, too, to be even planning out what you're going to eat the next day.
Right, right.
And I'm going crazy with it. Just please stop me at any time. But no, Marie, it's just everything that you covered in this book. It deals with everything that we do in life to everywhere we go, because we are always being watched. We're always
There's no privacy. Yeah, you have no privacy.
Everybody's got a cell phone.
Right.
There's no, everything's got an eye on it. Everything, wherever you go, there's really no privacy.
Every move you make is being tracked by somebody or something. Yeah, it's, and most people don't realize that. They love their cell phones. They love their going online and using their computers or going on social networking, and they don't realize that everything that they do is being documented, and the data is being mined, and it's being mined by the government, by the military, by advertisers, you name it. People pay for cell phone information so they can, you know, decide what they're going to try to sell you. And I don't know. It just seems to me like a lot of people maybe don't care because they don't want to give up their devices. They're so tied to them. So
they want to keep the devices, but then they're just like, here, have everything, have my have my credit card, have my social security card, have my birthday, have everything about me. You know, it's really.
Yeah, that's what
you know,
scary
it's really
is.
Crazy.
We're handing it to them. We're handing it to them. We're like, take it.
Yeah, but do you remember the days, Marie, before Facebook, before all this, when we had family? And they lived in another state where we didn't ever talk to them. And then it's just like we were just so glad to see that person because we never talked to them. We barely talked to them maybe on the phone or something. But then with the Facebook, with all this other social media, I think it really, we get pretty much into each other's plates, into what we eat, everything is documented.
Right.
And we get so much, you know, we just don't have that family time like we used to anymore, you know? It's just,
it's not important stuff. It's like we're only having these really unimportant surface relationships with people, and we don't go sit face-to-face with someone and talk to them and, you know, have dinner with our kids where they're not, don't have their faces in their phones. And it's just a whole different world. It's like, you know, my son's generation, they are growing up on this. So they don't know what it was like before. They don't know what it was like to go out and play outside. And they do talk to each other face-to-face, but most of it is on text or email or forums and stuff. I think it's making people feel more lonely, even though you have access to more people now. But you're not getting that real personal time.
No, I think there's some deviant thing about text. I don't know. It's just really, maybe it's just, I mean, even though I'm just like 30 years old, I think that it's just something weird about text. But, you know, now figured out it's just a way to track anything we say and who we're close to. You know, even though down, Marie, to whenever, okay, we're shopping, we're at the mall, something like that, they're saying, well, can we have your email? Can we have they're knowing what we're buying now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They're knowing how much we're spending. So,
yeah,
you know, the
plot
thickens.
Get on our mailing list. I've given my email to, you know, like a running shoe store or something. It's like, okay, if give us your email. We'll put you on our special email list for coupons and sales, and you don't even think twice about the fact that, oh, now they have my email, they're going to try to sell me, and then you get thousands of emails from them, and you wonder why.
But I think of ways that they do that, too, is they, you know, say, you can't just go into a place and just say, just give them the money. I mean, you pretty much can in a grocery store, but that's just about it. If you go to any kind of stores, can we have your phone number, or can we have, or no, even in a grocery store, you gotta, even in a grocery store, hey, I take that back, Marie, even in a grocery store, to get the deals, the hot deals, you gotta put in your phone number. So they're still trying
to
check how much food.
You have to join their club. Absolutely.
You know, so we're just like, they know what we eat. They know what we're wearing. They know how much income we're spending every month.
They know exactly what food you eat. They know what alcohol you drink. They know what products you use. It's just insane. And if you think about it, it's really all about what they can find out about you so that they can sell you more and get your money. And,
We have no privacy. We're looking at the, you know, and we're still living in the after Snowden, you know, and a lot of people would still, you know, and people like us and other people in the field that's been doing research for years and years and years, but with all the other people in the world that didn't know any of this was happening before then, it really, I think it's like a dawn of a new age of just how people think. Even like older people, you know, senior citizens like my dad and stuff, whenever they say, you know, he's been like a Democrat his whole life, and when he says, I don't even, you know, when if an election comes up or something, he's like, I don't really know if I want to vote or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's whenever, you know, the country is just, you know, when an old person says that, it's just like, you know, if, you know, it shows you, too, that it's picked for us and that we're programmed to think we actually have an opinion. We actually have a voice whenever, you know, and then that is the mind control aspect of giving us that thought of us being free when we
of
are really
some control. Gone. Yeah, absolutely true. Very true.
It's been amazing. I'm glad you've been able to join me tonight. You know, we got a couple more minutes, but is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we left?
I just think people have to wake up and get educated and be aware and just, you know, really look at what's going on. And is this the way that we want to live? And is this the way that we want our kids to live? That's, I think, the most important thing. But thank you for letting me come on and talk about this. It's important.
It is, you know, and I wanted to touch on the different ground, how mind control affects every aspect of my mind.
It does, yeah. People don't realize that, and they need to wake up. You know, take some control back. You can take some control back. And we just give it away so easily because we're tired, we're distracted, we're lazy, we're busy.
You know, and you've been coming out with so much material, Marie, and you're really blessed with being able to give us this great information, and you know, I've done a little research in your other books too, and it's just you're always nailing it with any subject you're hitting, you know. And I say, keep up the great work, sister.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Definitely, we'll have to grace your presence on the show one more time.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Well, that was a great show, and we discussed a lot of important things dealing with mind control, and it is a mind war. And until next week on Strange Drowning, Secret Universe.